Ghost Hunting in New England,
your favorite spooky podcast. Hello and happy Wednesday. Welcome to this week's edition of Ghost Hunting in New England. I'm your host, Amelia, and I'm joined today with my co-host from Western New York. Did I say that right? It's Western, right?
You did, yeah, and I heard you couldn't quite get it right last week. So, yes, it's Western New York.
So I'm trying to get it really right this week. From up in Buffalo, New York, Will Fox, lead investigator with Long Island Paranormal Investigators, New York State Branch. How are ya?
You nailed it. You nailed it this time.
Ew. So, yeah, this week, if I sound a little different, it is because I am recording in the, I don't know, what's the right word? In the luxury of my own home.
In the epicenter of Ghost Hunting in New England podcastum.
It's true. My little apartment. I have Liddy here with me. I might crack open a glass of wine at some point. I guess you can't crack open a glass, but...
I mean, you could. It'd be a little dangerous.
It might get dangerous, especially with a cat around. But yeah, we are safe here. There is no risk of coronavirus in my home, so that is where I'm recording. Well, you know, that's what people don't like to discuss the risks associated with podcasting.
Hey, you know, it's a dangerous profession.
Well, you know, when you are on the brink of a pandemic and you have to talk 2 inches from a pop screen, then you don't know who the heck else is talked on it that day.
That's a good point.
We are staying at home. And I should also add a very happy leap year to you, Will.
That happened today.
We are recording on the leap year, which I don't fully understand. You know, someone explained this to me last week, and I guess if we didn't have a leap year, every 90 years our seasons would change, or every, I don't know, I think I just got that wrong. The 90s involved somehow, or like every couple years our seasons would move 90 days, I don't know. If someone knows why we do this, right into the show, because it's really confusing to me.
I mean, I guess every year it would put us off by one full day, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all dumb.
I think it's kind of dumb, too. But it's interesting. So
sure.
You got that. I was a little confused today. I was looking at something at work, and it gave me these numbers from a year ago. And I'm like, there was no today a year ago, though. So what are those numbers?
How does that work?
I don't know. But I don't know. Then I got distracted and I didn't really take time to look into it too much more. Okay, so what are we talking
about? You're kind of frying my mind. No, hold on. I'm all messed up now because now I'm thinking how that works. What numbers did you see? Did you see March 1st?
I don't know what numbers I saw. It showed me the numbers from a year ago, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, oh, yeah, because it shows me numbers from a year ago to the day, and then, like, you know, 52 weeks ago. And I was thinking about it, and I was like, and then I had to go do something else. And then I thought, I was like, what the heck? I guess it must have showed me February 28th again. I don't know.
It's either that or it'll show you March 1st again tomorrow.
Yeah, I don't know. When we get off of this, I'll investigate that a little more because I probably should be paying more attention to that.
Too much time.
All right, so what are we talking about today, Will?
We are talking about places in New Hampshire, more specifically, restaurants in New Hampshire.
Hey, that's my favorite thing.
And more specifically than that, haunted restaurants in New Hampshire.
Yeah, haunted restaurants in New Hampshire. So, people who listen to our show a whole lot will know that last summer, Beth Ellen and I did a long trip up to the Windham restaurant in southern New Hampshire. Very, very haunted spot. But we're not talking about that today. We're talking about two others, and one of which I do have plans to visit when it gets a little bit warmer. My friend Danielle and I are going to go. I'm looking forward to it, and I'm looking forward to finding out more about it tonight, because that is the one Will is going to tell us all about.
Ooh, I didn't know you were coming to this one.
Yeah, I'm planning on going with Danielle. She lives up in Nashua, so we have some plans to go there sometime. So why don't you tell us all about it?
Well, it is certainly interesting. It is also, it is in Nashua. It is called the County Tavern. It's at 452 Amherst Street in Nashua. And I found some interesting stuff about it. I'm just going to read a very, very short article that I found interesting. Gives a little bit of history, and then a little bit of the current happenings. And Amelia, I already showed you this quote that I found earlier this week. It is a priceless quote at the end of this page. So everyone stay tuned for the end of this story because you don't want to miss this quote.
It is pure New England.
It is great. It is great.
You got to try to do it with your best accent.
I will, you know, when I read the quote, and I don't want to skip ahead, but when I read the quote, it sounds Southern to me. Is that a common thing up north?
That is not super uncommon for that area of New Hampshire.
Okay.
Kind of like the Nashua, Salem. It's the way sentences can be structured sometimes, they're structured like they're Southern, but that area of New England, their Boston accents are more Boston like when you think of your traditional Boston accent, you know, like other places in the country, when they think about it, it's really like a Southern New Hampshire accent.
Wow. So I was prepared to read this like Central Alabama accent style.
No.
But now I guess I gotta go Boston. I'm gonna have to read that on the fly now.
Yeah, it's like a Boston, but it's like slowed down. Does that make sense?
I'll do my best when we get to it.
All right.
All right, well, I'm gonna read the article. It's a quiet Tuesday night at the County Tavern. The rambling 1741 farmhouse turned restaurant is all but empty as a waitress punches out and a man nurses a nightcap in the corner. Outwardly, the place looks dead, but upstairs a spirited crowd has gathered. A man in a black suit hangs from the rafters.
What?
Properly dressed for... Yeah, yeah. These are all weird ghost stories and backstories, but they didn't really get into it too much, and I couldn't find a whole lot about that.
Like, they're saying there's someone hanging?
I think they're talking about the ghost, Amelia.
Oh, okay. All right.
Okay. A man in a black suit hangs from the rafters. A properly dressed woman strolls through. A couple appears out of nowhere. Quote, "The gentleman who hanged himself in this room is right behind my shoulder," said April Sheeran, a psychic medium from Derry, New Hampshire. Sheeran, who says she was born with the ability to see, smell, and talk to ghosts and spirits, is in demand by a growing group of people with a passion for the paranormal. Karen Mossy, a petite... All right, now this is where this gets weird. Because I didn't really know why the article labeled her as a petite Hudson, New Hampshire woman, but it gets a little weird with this sentence, and then goes back to completely normal. It says, "Karen Mossy, a petite Hudson, New Hampshire woman with a heap of long blonde hair, follows the medium through the house with a digital recorder in each hand."
Sounds like someone's got the hots for her.
I think so. I think that sounds Karen Mossy sounds like quite the cougar out there.
Someone's trying to pin Karen down with this article.
I guess so. They meet in the 267-year-old house because it is said to be haunted by a woman named Elizabeth Ford. Ford's husband was a sea captain who returned home after 10 months to find her pregnant. Once she gave birth to the son, the captain locked his wife in a closet and ruthlessly murdered the newborn symbol of her infidelity.
Oh.
I know. This is a little depressing.
That is depressing.
I kind of forgot about that until I read it. It gets a little worse.
Worse than that?
After burying the baby under an apple tree, he released his wife from her makeshift prison. Elizabeth, enraged at the captain for his disgusting and violent act, attacked the captain. The captain overpowered Elizabeth and stabbed her to death, then threw her lifeless body down the well on their property.
Dang.
Yeah, that was quite the turn of... You know what gets me is that... So, obviously, there was a little bit of messing around while the husband was at sea, because he was out for a year and then came home well, he came home 10 months later and found her pregnant.
Yeah.
So, there. But what gets me is that he didn't get angry then, I guess, or angry enough. He waited the entire term of the pregnancy. I almost said presidency. That'd be 4 years. But the pregnancy, and then decided to flip out and kill them both.
Yeah.
It's a little dark.
That is dark.
I guess had he had quite a lot of anger built up after that pregnancy. Quote, "There could be many layers of spirits here," whispers Mossy, roaming the dark halls. Quote, "When something traumatic happens, death, murder, suicide, sometimes the physical emotion remains. On a tour of the downstairs bathrooms, Sheeran is overcome with tremendous sadness. In the men's room, she meets a spirit who tells her over and over again, 'They had my son.' She gets a flash of a root cellar, and in a minute, the group is crouching down rickety steps with flashlights. In the dusty basement, Sheeran says, 'This is where she was locked up. He locked her down here.' With her recorder running, Mossy asks, 'Is anyone buried down here?' The silence is deafening. Days later, she says, her recorder says otherwise. The sound of someone gasping for breath is the answer. For Mossy, that's all the proof that was needed. Quote, 'We consider that the best evidence of another world out there. The fact that we know we are all going to go there someday. This helps.'"
Wait, what?
That was the way that the article ends.
You know, so, I don't...
I don't know.
I didn't hear this EVP, but that sounds pretty weak.
I know. That's
pretty weak.
Just about to say. It says, "The silence is deafening. Days later, she says, her recorder tells us otherwise. The sound of someone gasping for breath is the answer. For Mossy, that's all the proof needed." That's a little weak.
That's, yeah. Come on.
A little weak.
Come on.
There are tons of other flames at this place. And I didn't write them all down, but I just went through this one. But like I said before, we're going to wrap up with a quote here from a guest. And I think this is all the evidence that we need to call this place haunted, honestly. If not for what he experienced, then the person himself. So it says, "Today, guests and staff report flying dinnerware, disembodied footsteps, shadows, cold spots, odd noises, and even the occasional full-body apparition. One guest, who wanted to remain nameless, probably for a good reason." So, this is where I need to put the Boston accent on. This is going to be tough, but I'll try. I feel like I'm going to butcher the Boston accent, so this is going to be fun. Okay, here we go. "I was eating dinner there with my girlfriend once. Real nice dinner." This is going to be so bad.
You're like, you're trying to do Boston, but I feel like you're like in New Jersey.
I don't want to put it over the top. "I was eating dinner there with my girlfriend once." So is that too thick? Am I landing on too heavy? Oh, that's like Brooklyn, huh?
Yeah, you're in New York, New Jersey area.
Oh, car. He's looking for my car. Okay. "I was eating dinner there with my girlfriend once." All right, so I'm just going to read this one normal because I'm not going to be able to do this with a Boston accent. I've already tried and I failed miserably. So this says, quote, "I was eating dinner there with my girlfriend once. Real nice dinner night, you know. We was all dressed up and all that. I wanted to show her I was fancy, so I ordered a bottle of red wine for us to share. So we was eating, or whatever, and while I was eating my burger, the bottle of wine shot off the table like the damn Mars rover or something. I ain't never seen anything like that. Shot straight up like some exorcist demon or whatever you call it. Then it comes straight back down and lands on my plate and breaks it and breaks my glass. I was mad as hell, man. Got all over my nice clothes, not to mention the dang bottle was like $40 or something. I'll tell you what, if y'all find that dang ghost in that place, you call me. I got issues with that Casper jackass." When I was doing research on this in the past week, I came across this gem and was close to tears laughing so hard while reading this. I'm very upset that we couldn't find an audio recording of it, but I think reading it just really does it justice.
Oh, man, that Casper jackass.
I got whispers with that Casper jackass.
I love it. Real nice dinner. Bottle of red wine to show her you're fancy, you know? That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. That's all we want. That's all women want. Show us your little fancy.
My personal favorite portion of it is the bottle of wine shot off the table like the damn Mars rover or something. And then shot straight up like some exorcist demon or whatever you call it.
I love it. I love it. All right.
But anyway, that is the County Tavern.
Love it. That's great. I'm excited to go. I've heard a rumor that they have like ghost stories on the placemats.
Oh, so they're all in on this.
It's a rumor I heard. Yeah, no, they're into it.
You know what? Before we get off the topic, I happened to go to their website. They didn't make any mention of like the haunted history or really the history at all on their website. However, I did find their menu, and their menu looks delicious.
Ooh.
I will say I see some tavern nachos, potato skin wedges, tavern pretzel nuggets.
They got any veggie burgers on that menu?
I'm seeing lots of chicken, French onion soup. Let's see, lots of good salads for you. Chicken, BLT, chicken, French dip.
Dang it.
Build a burger. Let's see. Oh, yeah, black bean veggie burger.
Oh.
There you go.
There you so go, you'll, kid. You'll be good
to find something. You can eat the burger with your somewhat fancy girl.
Yeah.
You have to order a bottle of red wine.
I'll order Danielle a bottle of red wine.
There you go.
Well, that was great. So, now it is time for my story, which comes from Durham, New Hampshire. And this is the story of the Three Chimneys Inn and Tavern, located at 17 New Market Road.
That is a significant amount more chimneys than usual.
That is quite the amount of chimneys.
Some would say 300% more chimneys.
They sure would. The Three Chimneys Inn is actually the oldest house in Durham and is one of the oldest buildings in all of New Hampshire.
It
has to be haunted, you know? Part of the original settlement at Oyster Falls River, the property is a living record of over three centuries of cultural and commercial development, having passed through four significant families prior to 1987, when Sagamore Hill Incorporated obtained the property and completed restoration in 1997. The very first owner was Valentine Hill. I love that name. I love it. Valentine. Why don't people get good names like that anymore?
I don't know. Now it's just like, I probably shouldn't have spoken because I can't think of a good example. But yeah, now they're just dumb names,
I guess. Okay, so the first owner was Valentine Hill, New England's leading 17th century entrepreneur. On September 29th, 1649, Valentine Hill and Thomas Beard were granted the fall of Oyster River to set up a sawmill. On May 14th, 1651, the town granted to Valentine Hill 500 acres for a farm.
Must be nice.
In 1649, Valentine Hill built the original homestead. The house was a single story with a basement and an upstairs living area kitchen combo. The outdoor summer kitchen fireplace can still be seen in the modern tavern today. In 1699, Nathaniel Hill, Valentine's son, made a two-story addition to the home, which now forms the entrance to the Maples and Cooper's dining rooms. The house survived the Native American attack of 1694 that destroyed many of the nearby homes during the Revolutionary War. According to the story, the home was a storage place for ammunition that was taken from the British blockhouses in Portsmouth and hidden for use by Revolutionary troops. In the 1700s, the home passed briefly to the Woodman family, descendants of the Hills by marriage. They added on a barn in 1795, and that same year, the property for the cemetery was deeded to the town. That's right. This restaurant / inn has a cemetery next to it.
That's my kind of restaurant.
That's exactly it. Spooky, spooky location. Okay, in the 1800s, George II purchased the current property from the Woodmans and hired Jacob Odell, who is now buried in that very cemetery mentioned 5 seconds before. As an architect, this noted local joiner rebuilt the interior, adding a federal-style trim and giving the roof a lower slope. During a typhoid epidemic, the wells on the property that had been in use until 1912 were covered over due to contamination. That is gross.
Wow, the wells got infected with typhoid.
That's gross.
Well, is that what you shouldn't be drinking the tap water then over there?
Is that what's going to happen to us with coronavirus?
That's what I mean. Hey, listen, if the water suddenly turns to Corona, like the beer Corona, then we're talking.
Do you believe those statistics that they're saying 38% of Americans believe coronavirus is related to the beer?
I believe it's high. I don't think it's that high.
I can't believe it's that high. That's too crazy. All right. Back to the story. Okay. Where was I on here?
The wells getting covered up.
Yes. Wells were covered up due to contamination. The transformation of the homestead from working adjunct of a business to small town Victorian estate heralds the decline of Oyster River Falls as a commercial center. In the early 1900s, James and Margaret Pepperell Sawyer took over the estate, completing the transformation of the grounds and turned into Colonial Reviver summer estate with extensive formal gardens, arbors, and elaborate stone wall. Tennis courts, which have since been removed, and a swimming pool were added also in 1912. You know, I don't know how I feel about the fact in 1912 they had to get rid of all of the wells, but then they built a swimming pool.
I didn't even think about that.
You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
I don't know if I like that. All right.
That's funny. I did not even think about that until just now.
Yeah, it's kind of icky. All right. So, after the revival period, the building and grounds passed from hand to hand and were left to fall to ruin. But then it kind of all got together and some new people bought it. Now this other company has it and it became really nice. Okay. Anyway, from their website, we hope our guests will warm themselves by one of our restored original wood burning fireplaces. When the weather is fair, we hope you'll walk about in the history with the ghosts of Valentine Hill, the Woodmans, the Froths, and the Sawyers, and enjoy the terrace gardens now restored and replanted with perennials.
Wow, they are full on leaning into the haunted history.
They are. They have no issues.
That's smart.
Okay, so now on to the ghosts. We are going to focus on the main ghost. So, as you will recall from the beginning of my long history lesson on this hill, this inn was about Hill, Valentine Hill, and Valentine Hill had a daughter, and his daughter's name was Hannah, and Hannah got married at the ripe age of 20, and the year was 1659. So, after her marriage, there was no reported further mention of Hannah, and many believe she drowned in the Oyster River located behind the inn. So, I don't know what that's about. 20 seems young to get married. It's weird she drowned right after that, and it's also weird that this guy was, like, the biggest entrepreneur in the anywhere. You know what I mean? 1659.
Yeah, I like how there's... Just because there's no, or maybe there's more to the story, but I like how they just say, like, there's not really much written about her after that, but she probably drowned.
Well, I think the thing is that her father was, famous, you know? I mean, they have everything else about him written down. The fact that they wouldn't have anything on this girl after the age of 20.
That is weird.
Yeah, it's a little suspect, a little sus, as the kids would say.
Unless she got, like, married and then just bounced. I don't know.
Couldn't tell ya. All right, so she drowned, and then, according to local legend, She never actually left. So current innkeeper Karen Meyer, she did an interview in the local newspaper. Foster's is the newspaper name. And what she had to say about it was, things happen that are tough to explain, but nothing evil. Silverware will go missing and then show back up. And we've had doors lock themselves. We've had an awful lot of people say that furniture is moving around rooms above them when there wasn't any guests up there. Things like that are hard to explain. Well, they are hard to explain, so you do probably have a ghost. Okay. On cold, windy nights, an employee said she was awoken in the dark when she felt someone playing with her hair. Now, that is a common one. I feel like I've gone over a million Haunted Inn stories, and it's like a ghost was playing with my hair. And I don't know why that is, and I don't know why it happens in Haunted Inns, but it creeps me out, and I don't like it.
See, it's funny you say that, because I was just thinking the same thing, and then it's also, you also get a lot of, like, hair pulling. Like, if you're walking down the hallway, you just get your hair pulled all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I don't know what's up with that and why it's so specific to these types of places, but...
I don't know.
So, an insurance group dining in the tavern is said to have witnessed a wine glass float off the table and shatter on the floor.
Oh, boy.
That we're now two for two with wine-related ghost incidents in New Hampshire.
They shouldn't have been trying to act all fancy.
They should. Yeah, in an insurance group? Come on. They're always trying to act fancy.
Yeah, what the heck is an insurance group?
Oh, you know, it's just a bunch of people who do insurance. I know a lot of them, and I've been talking to a lot of them recently because I am very concerned about coronavirus, and they tell me there's no insurance for it. All right, but they're all very nice people. Okay. Don't laugh at me. All right.
Listeners, hold on. We need to address this. I need your listeners to realize that, in case they haven't figured it out yet, I am not the slightest bit concerned about coronavirus, but I am having the greatest time with Amelia having way too much concern for it.
Yeah, Will doesn't care, and I tell Will about the coronavirus no less than 5 times a day this week.
Literally you've messaged me on Facebook and just freaked out about it.
I'm really concerned. I talk to a lot of people. It's really concerning me.
Hey, look, when we're on the 400th episode of this podcast and we look back at this silly, silly episode and laugh at you for being concerned about this thing that was probably just like Y2K that is just going to blow over, we'll have a good laugh about it.
Yeah, like Y2K, except society crumbles. All right, back to the story. Another employee, fast asleep, said she woke up to the sounds of footsteps in the parlor, and she quickly hurried downstairs only to find every drawer and cabinet opened exactly 1 inch. That's kind of spooky, but I feel like they're always open, like, all the way.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's a little weird that, see, now I'm getting a little, my debunking meter is going off in my head now, because if they're all open exactly an inch, I don't know, you ever see those cabinets that, like, no matter how hard you try to slam them, they always stop and then they slowly close? Like, they're designed that way. Like, the hinges are like that or whatever. No. But there are hinges that, like, literally you could just try to slam the thing closed as hard as you want, but it catches itself about, like, two, or maybe an inch or two before it closes, and then it slowly closes. But I'm thinking maybe, those are like kind of new hinges, I guess, but yeah, you never know. It could be something with the hinges or the slope of the floor. Maybe it's uneven and the cabinets don't close all the way. Maybe they open themselves a little bit.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point.
This is the paranormal investigator in me.
Okay. You're thinking about it more than I am. That's good.
Yeah. The buzzkill.
Okay, so Hannah the Ghost's most famous eccentricities are an animosity of all things modern. Girl, I feel you. I feel the same way. Hannah doesn't seem to like change. Feel that. Ian makes this well known when new technology and electronics are introduced to the Three Chimneys Inn and Tavern. The employees said they have a difficult time with appliances and often resort to outside assistance for help. Strangely, the technical difficulties tend to leave the repairmen stumped. There have been instances where calculators have gone haywire, displaying numbers backwards. There was also an occurrence upon which a printer continued to print for 20 minutes after computer and printer were turned off and unplugged. Ba-da-da!
Okay, that has something to do with this. I'm calling it right now. Printers are evil on their own.
You think that an unplugged printer will still keep printing?
Yes, I believe printers and copy machines do whatever they want to do. I have never encountered a printer or a copier that has worked exactly the way I wanted it to at all times. I think all printers and copiers are naturally demonic.
All right, that's fair.
That is fair.
Okay, so I am now quoting from tnhdigital.com, where they said, in preparation for this article, UNH journalism major and Three Chimneys Inn staff member Alyssa LeClaire provided video footage of an incident involving Hannah's ghost. Early one morning, when Three Chimneys Inn employees heard spine tingling creaking on the floorboards, LeClaire pulled out her phone to record and joined to inspect the noise. It was freaky. I experienced an intense sensation of the chills, LeClaire said. We didn't know what to expect, which tends to be a common theme when working here. The staff discovered muddy footprints strewn across the floor in the dining room. The prints were barefoot and, due to the shape and size, were determined to be a woman's foot. The video continued to show the muddy footprints also appeared underneath a few rugs, which the staff couldn't explain. Employees at the Three Chimneys Inn welcome anyone to visit and hear about occurrences of potential paranormal activity experienced there. Take a tour of the old building and travel through history as you stroll through the graveyard out back. Just be wary, for you may not be alone. And that's my story on the Three Chimneys Inn. Again, I have, for research on this, I use tnhdigital.com, the Inn's website, which is extensive. If you're on their website, actually, I would like to point out that the desktop version is very laggy and doesn't really work, but if you use your cell phone, it works really, really well. And Foster's newspaper, which you can find at fosters.com. What do you think of that?
I think that I need to start writing down my sources because I didn't do that.
Yeah, that's all right.
That's why you're the professional.
Ew. All right. So, are there other haunted restaurants in New Hampshire? Sure. Why don't you send them in to us? Tell us all about it. I plan on hanging out in a lot of haunted restaurants this summer. I love going to restaurants. I'm a huge foodie, and haunted the better, you know, let's do it all at the same time. So
now listen, I want to attack a misconception in the paranormal world that people think that only super old and weird, restaurants are haunted, but that is not true. There is and now I'm reverting back to Long Island. There's a Pizza Hut on Long Island that is haunted, and it's actually widely known to be haunted, because if I remember correctly, there was a murder in the bathroom, and now they're encountering, like, you can hear whispers in the bathroom, and like all the pots in the shelves in the kitchen are like falling off, but I'm pretty sure that was debunked. It's just a bad shelf. But my point is, just because a restaurant is not super old, or it's like a chain restaurant, could still be haunted.
Hi, this is Kamil from I Don't Know the podcast. Are ghosts real? I don't know. What are UFOs? I don't know. Are witches sexy? Maybe. I don't know. Listen to I Don't Know the podcast every week to find out what else I don't know about all sorts of things.
guess what we got a lot of this week, Will?
Haunted dolls?
No, I didn't get any haunted dolls. Did you?
Oh, unfortunately, I haven't yet.
Dang it. Well, we got a lot of emails this week. Including the fact that we have been nominated for an award with Somerville Media Center. Yes, which is very, very, very exciting. We have been nominated at the Somerville Media Center Gala in April. So you can find links to the event on our Facebook page. Those of you local to Somerville, it's at the Arts of Armory. It should be a great event. I'll be there, and I don't know how the voting works, but you should vote for us because I like winning stuff. So that was one mail we got. I got mail. I am very annoyed about this. This I am very annoyed about. I got an email and I got a DM on Facebook asking me to audition for a game show, which I hate playing games, but I love winning money. So I really wanted to do it, and no one's gotten back to me on it. I've emailed, I've called them twice, I've DM'd them back on Instagram. Nothing. Anyway, if anyone hears of any good game shows that have to do with the paranormal, tell me.
If that's a thing, wow, maybe we're encountering something we could start tackling. Because I've never heard of such a thing, but it would be a good idea.
So, it's a show on Fox, which normally does not have anything to do with the paranormal, but they specifically wrote to me saying they wanted people with paranormal research, like experience, so I don't know.
Oh, well maybe I'll join this show and we'll go head-to-head, Amelia.
Okay. We got a whole lot of drive-by ghosting!
Yay!
I'm wondering where we should start. I would like to start with Deb. So let's read her. Now, as everyone knows, if you send us a whole bunch of drive-by ghostings in one thing, you get your own sound clip. And Deb sent us a bunch. So here it is, Deb's sound clip. And it's a really good one. I like that one a lot. So, we're going to read one of hers today. We're going to read the rest as we kind of go through on the next couple of episodes. So, here we go. Deb's very, very first drive-by ghosting. I was about 13 or 14 and I was home alone. I had walked out of the room where we had the family computer, back when families had one desktop computer to share. I was walking the few feet to the bathroom and clear as day, I saw this black cloaked figure standing in the kitchen facing the counter with his back to me. I took another step or two and realized there was someone else or something in the house with me. When I looked back, it was gone. There was no way it could have left the kitchen without me seeing it. The front door, back door, and door to the garage never opened. I remember slowly walking into the kitchen, looking around to see where it was. I have never been so scared to be in a vulnerable position of sitting on the toilet. I like the ending of that one. That's good.
Yeah. As a 13 or 14 year old home alone, and you see that, that would be a problem.
You know, I feel like 13 or 14 year old Amelia, I would have just, I don't know if I would have made it to the toilet at that point. I would just.
That's a fair point.
You know? So good on you. All right. Good story. I like that one. That one, it's scary. That's a spooky story.
Yeah, all that's right. That's a good one. Thanks for sharing, Deb.
Yeah, that was great, Deb. Thank you. Deb also was the one who suggested our main episode. That's the same Deb.
Oh, well, thanks for the contributions, Deb.
Yeah, that's great. Okay, so you know what that sound clip means. It's time for another story from Jen in Maine. And I will make a note, I don't know if she did this on purpose or not, but Jen in Maine sent me this email at 1:22 p.m. And as listeners will know, 122 is a number that haunts me. This week, the numbers 234 have been haunting me. I see 234 everywhere. What is that? I don't know.
You're going to have to make me, you're making me, I'll probably start paying attention to numbers now. Maybe I have numbers that haunt me throughout the weeks.
Oh, I am very haunted, and 122 is a big haunting one for me. All right, Will, let's take it away on Jen's spooky story.
All right, so Jen's drive-by ghosting this week is, she prefaces it as a co-worker's edition. This one says, I work at a hotel in Augusta, Maine, and I'm always desperately waiting for something ghostly to happen while I'm working. Much to my dismay, nothing has yet. Fingers crossed, though. So I was telling my coworkers about your great spooky podcast, and we started trading some of our ghostly experiences. So here they are. Names changed for privacy purposes.
And real quick, for everyone, take Jen's lead and tell all your coworkers about your favorite spooky podcast. Thanks, Jen. All right,
yes,
continue.
Always have paranormal discussions at work, especially about our podcast.
Yeah.
So this one says, first we have Bob. It's the early 70s, and he is about 4 years old, living in Augusta, Maine. His next-door neighbor, who was a mean old lady, had recently passed away. Bob's mom got a metal bed frame at an estate sale at the neighbor's house and put it in her bedroom. One day, Bob had gotten into trouble and was given a timeout in his mother's bedroom, where he proceeded to start jumping on the bed. It's a bad kid. He noticed his reflection on the metal headboard. Bob saw that while he was jumping, his reflection was not. It was standing still.
Ooh, I don't like that. I don't like that.
Yeah, that is real weird.
I don't like that. That's really scary.
So he went up to get a closer look at his reflection and reached out to touch the headboard, and his reflection bit him. Let me read that again. His reflection bit him.
Yep. Don't like that.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
Don't like that at all.
He recoiled in horror and pain and ran to his mother and refused to go back into that room again. Haunted headboard of the mean old lady, demon bed, you decide.
Man, this is like extra spooky week. Everyone's sending us these really, really scary ones.
That's a good one. I've never heard of a reflection biting somebody before.
I haven't either. That I have the chills. I have the chills right now. That is a very scary one.
I will say, though, that opens up a whole can of worms that I'm actually very interested in, where hauntings include mirrors. I think that's so interesting.
I don't want to ever talk about that.
I think that's a perfect segue into that, the fact that we should definitely do a episode about that.
No.
Okay, well, ladies and gentlemen, I'll be doing an episode by myself.
Yeah, Will can do, 1 week when I'm not here, Will can do an episode on that. That really scares me. And as someone who had way too much fun back in art school, I already get freaked out enough looking into mirrors and don't need any flashbacks of anything or thinking I see ghosts.
I don't even know what you're talking about, Amelia.
Well, you know, probably for the better. Oh, gosh.
Anyway, Jen, that was a great story.
That was awesome. Thank you. And we're going to go over more of her coworker stories next week, because she sent us a bunch too. And thank you for that. Thank you. Pretty much, we got a lot of people who sent us a lot of stuff, which is really cool.
Well, that's the thing. If you want your own soundboard clip, then send us multiple stories at once.
Yes. Our next story comes to us from Nathan, who I believe is from the UK. I would like to send a very special shout out to our UK listeners, because in the last couple of weeks, we actually have more listeners from the UK than we do from Canada. And it's pretty wild. I'm very, very, we have a lot of listeners from Canada. So thank you, everyone in the UK, for turning us on, tuning into us. We really appreciate it. And here is Nathan's story.
On that same note, Amelia, before we get into Nathan's story, I'm calling out Canada. I'm going to say all of our Canadian listeners, you guys need to spread the word about the podcast, because I could basically walk to Canada from where I'm living, and
that's
true.
If
the UK has more listeners than Canada, I think Canada needs to step up their game.
Tell them about us a little more also. Okay, so here we go. Hi, I hope you remember me. Of course we do. Come on. I'm Nathan, who sent you the story about the day I died.
Kind of hard to forget about that one.
I definitely remember that one. He was, I believe, hit by a car at around 7 years old. That was a great story. I'd like to share another, if I may. He's definitely from the UK, talking like that. Yeah, if I may. That's very yes. proper. That is
you
quite proper.
You absolutely may, Nathan. You can.
About 3 years ago, I met a woman, and we were about 4 weeks into a relationship when she asked me if I could help her friend move a heavy wardrobe and bed as she was disabled. We turned up at the friend's house, and my girlfriend and her friend walked up the stairs into the bedroom. I was walking behind them, and as I passed another bedroom, I saw an elderly woman sat on the end of the bed. "Hello," I said. She looked shocked and surprised. "You can see me," she said. Then I knew she was a spirit. "Yes," my reply. "Hold on a minute. I'll be right back," I said. I walked into the bedroom with my girlfriend and her friend, and I said I just met the old lady. "What old lady?" said my girlfriend's friend. As she said that, the old woman stood next to me and told me her name, and she was the old homeowner. The girls' faces were in pure disbelief, and then the lady said, "Ask about the dolls with the white hair under the bed," so I did. "How could you know about that?" said my girlfriend's friend. "I told you the elderly lady is here and telling me." The elderly lady is a really friendly spirit, and even though I'm not with my ex-girlfriend, I still visit the house because I made more than one friend that day. Hope you both like this. Nathan. Spooky.
Wow. Well, it's nice that he's friendly with the old woman.
That is very nice, and that is super duper spooky stuff. And I like that a lot, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I do. I like that story, especially because it involves a doll. Not necessarily a haunted doll, but we're getting there.
Yeah, we're on our way. Okay, so our final one of the night.
Have a look at this!
And we all, of course, know what that sound clip means.
Crikeys, will you look who's back from the dead?
Righto, I'll stop that. This story involves prescient dreams and possibly shadow people or manifestations of my own. And taking control of other dimensional entities. First, a bit of a backstory and context. I used to have prescient dreams quite often, maybe 20 times a year. Sometimes it would be a significant event like injuring myself or being bullied. Other times it would be something very insignificant. I would know when I had a prescient dream as they played out like real life, while my normal dreams always were like TV shows or movies, where a scene would cut to a whole new location and I would jump from first to third person point view. Problem was, I would never remember the prescient dream upon waking, and only remember when the event happened later that day. A good friend, 5 years my junior, who lived a few houses down the road, would occasionally have prescient dreams and also only remember them at the time of the event. Once we got into an argument and turned towards each other to say something, paused for a fraction of a second and both said at the same time, "I know what you were about to say." We had both had the same prescient dream the night before of this very event. Damned if we could remember what we were about to say, though, as by changing what we were about to do seemed to have wiped the original chain of events from our memories. Anyway, from about the age of 5, I would have a nightmare at least twice a year, usually in the weekend just before going back to school, so everyone thought it was stress. I never told anyone what it was about, but over the next 5 years, as I got used to having prescient dreams, I realised it was prescient, and what I was seeing was going to happen. I had no idea what year it would happen, but I knew what part of the year and exactly where. In my nightmare, I would be doing an odd Christmas tradition in our street of peeking out through the blinds to make sure no one else was in the street between 11 p.m. and midnight. And if the coast was clear, run out and deposit Christmas cards in everyone's mailboxes. The idea was not to be seen doing it, and it was always done by one of the children in each family. I dreamt that I walked down our steep driveway, across the road, and deposited the cards in two mailboxes across the road, missed by the older siblings. I turned right in the act of turning around, and 20 metres, or about 65 feet, along the road, there was a solid wall of fog, solid except for dark holes that looked like four hooded figures like Gregorian monks. Not shadows, not actual people, just holes like the fog was cut by giant cookie cutters. In my nightmare, I'm rooted to the spot, and unable to make a noise. As the fog slowly moves towards me, with the four monk-like holes in it, I would try to run and scream, over and over. Apparently, the real me, having the nightmare, was screaming quite well, and woke up the whole family each time I had this nightmare. In fact, it was often someone else shaking me to wake me up, is the only reason I broke free of the nightmare. Fast forward 5 years to the age of 10, and about 20 or so occurrences of what by now I knew was a prescient dream, and Christmas rolls around. At 11 p.m, I'm handed two cards for the two houses across the street. No alarm bells go off in my head because, as usual, I'd forgotten the nightmares again. I walk down the driveway and start across the road. Try to imagine the next 10 seconds going normal speed, but my brain suddenly firing faster and faster as it suddenly realises that at each step, something around me ignites a spark in my memory of something important I had forgotten. First step, I notice it's unusually cold for nearly midsummer in Australia. Second step, a unique smell like an open freezer that has never been cleaned, what I imagine a very busy morgue must smell like. Third step, and the hair stands up on the back of my neck. I quicken my pace and jam the cards in as quickly as I can into the small mailboxes. I start to turn to the right, and the stark bark in my head ignites. And I try not to look up because suddenly it all comes back to me in a rush. And I know exactly what is going to be there, slowly moving towards me. Just as suddenly, something happens inside of me, and I realise this is the time. I'm not restricted to the conditions of being asleep. I can do something. I look up and my blood runs cold. There is the fog slowly moving towards me. There are the four hooded shapes cut into the fog. But this time there are hooded figures further back in the fog. At that moment, my bravado fails me and I'm rooted to the same spot as in the dream, unable to move or make a noise. Intense fear as I realise this is real, and if I don't do something, the shapes will reach me as there is no waking up from this. At that moment, I calm down, take a deep breath, and scream as loud as I can directly towards the shapes. This breaks the hold of the fear had on me, and I run inside, not looking back, never knowing what happened with the fog and the shapes after that. Apparently no one inside the house heard my scream, nor did any neighbours, and I've never had the nightmare again. Now, you're all going to have to wait a while, probably till next week, to hear part two, because I know Amelia doesn't like our stories to be over 3 minutes long, and I've just exceeded that by 2 minutes.
Well, Daniel is absolutely right. We will be hearing part two of his story next week, and that was another horrifying story. I don't know what is up with, Nathan's story was actually very nice and very sweet, but all the other stories today are so, sinister almost, very scary.
Yeah.
I like it, but I'm freaked out. I can't imagine, as someone who has reoccurring dreams, and as someone who has prophetic dreams as well, that is horrifying, and I feel the same way. When I have a reoccurring dream, because I also get the prophetic dreams, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, is this going to happen to me? Am I going to be scared? But, Daniel, I can't imagine, and your poor family, you screaming in the night, and then it happening. That is scary stuff.
Yeah, those stories about, like, dreams like that are always so fascinating to me. I mean, all of these stories are fascinating, but it's just like I've never truly I don't think we ever really will understand those stories, but they're just very, very weird, and I want to know more.
I mean, that was a fantastic story. so scary. I'm freaking out. I don't know why. I've said this on other episodes about how, like, I don't watch certain things in my home. I really try to keep nice energy. And the first time I ever record this show in my home, we had all these really, really scary stories. Oh, gosh. But it's great, though. And thank you, Daniel. I am greatly looking forward to sharing part two with everyone next week. That was a wonderful story. Real quick, I would like to remind everyone that while our website is still horribly not updated, which I should do pretty soon, we do have a button on there to donate a small amount of money to help all the animals in Australia. I would also like to give a quick plug to my Rotary Club, which is holding a seminar with the International Fund for Animal Welfare April 4th at the Wellesley Country Club. You can DM the show if you want to go to this. We're going to be talking all about what's going on in Australia right now with the animals, all the animals that have been displaced, and how we can do something all around the world to help out all of our friends in Australia. So that should be a really great event. Again, that's April 4th. If anyone local wants to come, please reach out to me and I can send you all the details. It's free. It's at the Wellesley Country Club and it should be very nice. So, Will, do we have anything else to go over this week?
No, I don't think so. I mean, this is like a self-plug, I guess. Oh, no, I'll wait until I plug my stuff. So, no, I don't.
Ooh, a cliffhanger. So, let's see. Do I have anything else this week? Nope, I don't think I do. I will probably be posting a very hilarious meme on our Instagram soon. You can go ahead and vote on it. Let me know if you think it's a really offensive thing to say to a Capricorn, or if it's just like a funny, stupid thing that maybe you should get the f*** over. I didn't say that word. But, you know, because sometimes in life, people, they just freak out. And I think that is a trait of a Capricorn.
Oh, gosh, I love that this has come to life. I know the story behind this, and I love it.
Well, I'm just saying, like, if there's one sign that we're to freak out about a totally meaningless freaking thing, it would be a Capricorn. And yet, so many Capricorns don't believe astrology exists. Interesting. It's interesting. I'm just saying it's interesting. That's all I'm trying to say.
I love it. I love it, Amelia. It's great. Good content. It's good content.
Thank you. That's all I'm going to say about it. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Well, actually, I do have something to bring up. We had already talked about it off air, but we can tell the listeners that we have created a list of possible topics in the future. I won't obviously go into the list, but just so you guys know, we are creating a list of paranormal topics that we will be going over that aren't necessarily New England related. We're going to try to keep the show 50-50 on New England episodes and just general paranormal episodes. But we have a pretty decent list of paranormal topics. So if you guys want to hear any specific topics about, like, we've already done shadow people or djinn and stuff like that, just general topics that you want to hear about, maybe you haven't heard a podcast talk about them yet, please let us know, DM us, leave a comment somewhere, we'll see it, and we'll try to get to it. But we have a pretty good list of really interesting stuff that I want to get into, and I know that's really... those episodes are where you'll see me shine a little more, because obviously I've never really stepped foot into New England too much. That's kind of Amelia's wheelhouse. But these episodes are going to be really interesting, and I'm really excited for these coming up.
I think they will be very interesting. And yes, please send us your ideas. You all heard a few weeks ago, we had Deb send us her idea, and we did a whole episode on it, you know? So I love hearing what you guys have to say about stuff and incorporating it into the shows. We want as much, participation from our listeners as possible, as always.
Interaction. It's great. It's great to hear from our audience. So that's really, I mean, we would do this I'm pretty sure I can speak for Amelia when I say we would do this if there were four people listening every week.
Well, there's only six, so.
That's true. And that's three more from last week.
I know, we're up.
Yeah, we're up. We're up. So we would do it no matter how many people listen, but we want to hear from you guys and incorporate some of your thoughts and ideas into the show.
And who knows, you could even end up like Mike from Arizona, who gave us an idea, and he ended up co-hosting with us that week, the full show.
Exactly. Yep.
So, you know, whatever you guys want to do, it's all good for us. Do we have anything else? Oh, I forgot to mention Aaron Shilb last week. Thank you to Aaron Shilb for doing our music. He also did the music for another podcast I was going to start but didn't start, and now I'm going to use it for another podcast, which I am starting at the end of this month. So hopefully Vegan Massachusetts podcast will be live by the time this episode airs. But if not, it will be within a few weeks of it. So, you know, that's just how I'm going to announce things from now on.
Just calmly, like, yeah, it should be out.
You know, but yeah. If it isn't, whatever. You know, I work like 90 hours a week, so, you know, give me some freaking slack. All right. And when I'm not working, I'm sending out memes and getting people all flustered. So it's a busy life. It's a busy life. All right. So, as always, thank you, Will, for joining me. Do you have anything you'd like to plug?
I certainly do. How did you know?
Because
so
I'm psychic.
I guess you are. As always, my Instagram is will_fox_paranormal. The Long Island Paranormal Investigators website is liparanormalinvestigators.com. Our Instagram, you can just search LI Paranormal Investigators, and you can search Long Island Paranormal Investigators on YouTube and Facebook. However, the one thing that I was talking about before, I just want to throw out there that I, with my beautiful fiance, did a trip last weekend that we went to Centralia, Pennsylvania. We checked out the, what's the name of the dam? We checked out Centralia, Pennsylvania. We checked out the Austin Dam, and we checked out some really cool bunkers in northern to central Pennsylvania. So we stepped out of New York, and we checked out some really interesting places. And for those of you that are interested in Centralia, Pennsylvania, I'm going to be posting a lot of those photos that we took over the next few weeks. So check out my Instagram if you want to see those. And as always, send me your haunted dolls. If you have a haunted doll, or you have a grandma that has a haunted doll that they want to get rid of it, DM me on Instagram. I will take it from you.
Will.
Yes.
I think I have a haunted doll. I don't know why. I have no idea why. You say this every week, and I literally just remembered. I think I have a haunted doll at my parents' house.
I will adopt your haunted doll.
If it is still there, I will send it to you. My brother does not believe in ghosts, but that's my brother's one ghost story has to do with this doll. He claims, yeah.
Your brother doesn't believe in ghosts and listens to your podcast?
My brother listens every single week to the podcast.
He is such a loyal brother.
I have a really great brother. We were really close as kids, so we used to, like, sleep on the floor of my room because I had a lot of nightmares. So he was sleeping in the floor, and he claims he looked up, and my doll's head started spinning around.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is a creepy doll. I don't know if my parents still have it. My dad probably does, and he keeps telling me to get all my crap out of his house. So I will go there and look for it, and I will send it to you. If I have it, I don't know.
I will gladly adopt your doll.
All right. Sounds good. Yeah. And they have another one over there. I don't know if it's creepy, but it freaks me out. It's like one of those just like, I don't know. My mom has like weird stuff. It's just like creepy looking. I'll send you all that.
Yes. Please send me those. Anything you want. If it's haunted, I'll take it. But I would be remiss if I didn't shout out Russ from the Unbelievers podcast, because he messaged the group chat that we are in and gave me a heads up that he was at a I guess you call it a yard sale. It looked like the guy was just selling stuff out of the back of his car, but he found two haunted dolls for me. So he's going to send me those also. So our fellow podcast hosts are getting the memo, and I love it. I am creating this Zach Bagans-esque room of haunted dolls, and I am excited for it, and my fiance is not.
I don't blame her at all. Julia, I will send you some sage. So, as always, you can find us online at ghosthuntinginnewengland.com, facebook.com/ghosthuntinginnewengland, Instagram, ghosthuntinginnewengland, Twitter, ghosthuntingne.
Twitter.
You can find Will online at Will_Fox_Paranormal on Instagram. You can find me at ar.childs on Instagram. However, my Instagram is mostly vegan food, not a lot of ghosts, but you can still follow me on there. It's, you know what? It's actually kind of really embarrassing because I have a lot of paranormal investigators who follow me. It's all like, oh, this is some gluten-free food I made today.
You gotta go the route that I went, and I ended up just making a new one just for paranormal stuff, and now it's like, I don't even post stuff on my main page anymore.
I know, but you have to keep, I have like 8 Instagram accounts already, I can't do any more.
Oh, that's true.
All right, so thank you guys, as always, please continue to, oh my god, I just jumped, my cat's eating food, oh. This is why we can't do the scary stories in the house.
It would not be an episode of Ghost Hunting in New England without Amelia getting scared during the podcast.
Continue to send us your ghost stories so I get freaked out. And have a great week. Again, happy leap year, Will. And
you too.
We will see you all here next week. Tip your baristas. And as always, happy hunting. Yucky.